Let's go to Luke 21. I want to read the first 28 verses in Luke 21. And I'm going to show you one more time some of the signs the Lord talks about before his return. I want to go through these fairly fast because it hadn't been too long ago since I went through these. Luke 21. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people putting their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 pennies. Okay, let's go to the next verses. I assure you, he said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. I left those in there to tell you something. I got a letter from a lady this last week that sent me $5. And she said, I'm on Social Security. Oh, by the way, too, and if you haven't heard, Obama says there ain't going to be money to pay Social Security checks this next month. No, you know, so, you know, I mean, it's crazy what's going on. I have never seen what I've seen going on in the world today. You know, so anyway, wow. But anyway, I guess we'll find out, you know, if one day they don't have them, well then, hey, praise God. I am glad I am not basing my prosperity on this economy. Jesus is going to take care of me. And Jesus, if he can take the prophet and take him out there and feed him with a raven, and, you know, hey, he can feed me. You know, so he can take care of it, you know. So I'm not even concerned about what he's going to do. But anyway, this lady sent us $5, and Cheryl read the letter. And it was a letter. She said, you know, I want to give to the ministry, but, you know, I can only give a little bit. And said, this is the last money I had. And Cheryl said, well, I know this woman. You know, in her compassion, she immediately wants to send her check back. You know, she said, I don't want to take her money. I said, no, you ain't dare going to send that woman that check back. I said, we're going to put that money in the bank, because if we don't, God can't bless that woman. I said, you know, God's going to bless that woman. The thing about it is, did Jesus, this was the last 2 pennies this woman had. Did Jesus say, give it back to her?
No.
Well, you notice he didn't. Because he understands the principle of giving.
Yes.
Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Is that what he said?
Yes.
You know, the majority of the church don't believe the word of God. You know, if you get into a place where you're out of money, you don't go spend your money for some dumb thing. You give some of it to God.
Amen.
You make sure you give it to God. Don't give it to the world, because they'll take it. And you won't get nothing back for it. Okay, next verse 5 and 6. Let's go on. Some of his disciples begin talking about the beautiful stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the wall. But Jesus said, the time is coming when all these things will be so completely demolished that not one stone will be left on top of another. Now then, today, if you were to take some of our big edifices, some of our big, beautiful temples that we have around the country, and I've seen some of them, I've been in some of them, and you were to say that by next month there won't be a stone left on top of another one in this place. Verse 7 and 8. Teacher, they ask, when will all this take place, and will there be any sign ahead of time? Well, that's what we're looking for today, right? We want to know that right now. He replied, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming to be the Messiah and saying the time has come, but don't believe them. Boy, we've had that. We've had plenty of those. 9 and 10. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. Boy, have we had those. I mean, wars everywhere. Right now we got wars going on everywhere. I mean, then he added, nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. And my goodness, have you ever seen anything like the last 6 months? I mean, just everybody's fighting against everybody all over the world. Every time I pull up any kind of news, well, 20 more people got killed over here, 150 got killed over here. I think, wow. You know, it don't matter where you are. The people in the streets, all of a sudden they open fire on them and kill 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people in the streets. It's unreal what's going on everywhere in the world. Verse 11 and 12. There will be great earthquakes. And oh, my goodness gracious, those things are happening everywhere. I mean, I can remember in my younger life, if we had a 5.0, it was something, it hit the news everywhere. They told everybody about a 5.0. Today, a 5.0 don't even hit the news. It's got to be an 8 or a 9, or at least a 7, or they don't even tell you about it. You know, if 10 or 20,000 people don't get killed, they don't even put it on the news no more. It's amazing. There will be famines and epidemics in many lands. And this morning, I watched some news this morning, and I was awestruck at this wonderful organization called Feed the Children out of Oklahoma City. Y'all know of that? If you haven't heard of them, I've given them a little in the past, not near as much as I should have, I guess. But they had 10 or 20 trucks, great big 18-wheelers. And they were going into the cities all over the east down here, several places, you know, that are one city, I forgot which one they were, they showed them on a map exactly where they were going to go. And in one city, there was 21% of the people in that city out of work. Wow. One of them, the one guy worked for an airline there, and they had shut down the service into that city. And so he said, my wife and I both worked for this airline, and now we're both out of a job. Have no job whatsoever. And he said, I'm out trying to cut wood with a chainsaw to sell firewood for people, you know, so that I can eat. He said, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm just provide enough to feed my family. I think, wow, there will be famine and epidemics in many lands. Doesn't your heart bleed for those people? It really does. You know, I mean, that's just like a young boy. This week I was talking to about Jesus. And he said, no, I don't know Jesus. I'm not interested. I said, were you raised up in a Christian home? Yeah. I said, so what happened? Where's your dad? He said, he's in prison. I said, so you want to talk about what he did? He said, no. I said, okay, you can tell he wasn't proud of his daddy at all. I said, how about your mother? Is she a Christian? Yeah. She said, she wants me to go to church. But he said, I ain't going. I reached over and laid my hand on him. I said, son, you know if you died today, you know you'd go to a terrible place. He said, to go to one of four places. I said, no, son, there ain't four places. There's two places. There's heaven and there's hell. And there ain't no in between. So anything you heard different than that was wrong. I said, there's only heaven and only hell. And I said, right now, where you are, you'd go to hell. And by the time I got through with him and started to leave, he said, mister, I'll say one thing. You're really serious. I can hear the heaviness in your heart about me. I said, yes, son, my heart's bleeding right now for you. I don't think anybody ever had a heavy heart for him. But he sensed it by the Spirit that I was serious about what I'm talking about. I don't want that young man to die and go to hell. You know, he was a good-looking young, probably 25 or 30-year-old young man. He needs to be in church. He needs to be worshiping the Lord, serving God, so he can be blessed when he lives on this earth. And when he dies, he can go to heaven. I don't know anybody that I want to die and go to hell. Do you, Keith? No, nobody, nobody. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. Are we having that?
Amen.
Yes, the church is being persecuted terribly. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. Boy, you ever give that any thought? If they drag you in and say, are you willing to denounce this Jesus of yours? If you don't, we're going to kill your children. If you've never read that story in the Catholic Bible about the woman and her sons, that they caught them and they wanted them to denounce God. And they said no. There were seven of them and the mother. And they said, well, then we're going to start with the youngest and we're going to cut out his tongue. And so they cut off his tongue. Then they said, are you going to denounce Jesus now? And she says, no. And all the rest of the sons said, no. So they cut off one hand. Then they cut off the second hand. Then they cut off both feet. And then they cut him in two. And she had to stand and watch that whole thing. And she took, they took her, the king had her sons from the youngest to the oldest and finally down to her and did her the same way. And not one single one of them ever renounced the Lord. I thought, you know, I don't know, nobody in the church today has got that kind of faith. You know, I mean, I can talk about that story, but I can't associate with that. You know, I can't even dream about having to go there and something like that. Can you? I tell you what, as a man, if I was there, I don't know how many guards that were there. I don't know how many, if it had been seven of us and they'd have cut my first brother's tongue out and I saw they were serious. You know, I don't know. Maybe they were tied up. I don't know. I don't know what. But I mean, you know, I would have become a fighting, raving maniac. I would have attacked. I would have fought back. You know, maybe that's not what God planned. Maybe He doesn't want us to fight back. I don't know. But I was trained to fight for Vietnam. You know, it's hard for me not to fight. I can't stand there and let somebody kill a bunch of people. Me stand there and watch it and do nothing. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? I just can't do that. I hope I never have to go there. I hope I don't have to be tested like that. But wow. Verse 13 and 14. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry about how to answer the charge against you. Who's going to be in you? Jesus is. So you don't have to worry about nothing. 15 and 16. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of you, your opponents, will be able to reply. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you, and some of you will be killed. Some of you will be killed. I mean, I don't like that, Terry. You know, somebody comes in and kills me and my whole family. I don't like that. But Jesus said it, didn't He? So I may have to die. I can't think of a better cause to die for. Can you, Sharon? You know, I just, you know, in the church, we need to learn to stick together in prayer and love and everything. You know, sometimes we can't even stick together as a church family. You know, we get problems and everything and we get upset with each other. Okay, let's go on down next two verses. We're going to verse 28. And everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Lord, This is Beyond Anything I Can Imagine, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.